Today is Wednesday, November 14th, and it's another episode of The News.
Gonna have some business and some social media for you today.
Lots of social media.
Technology and all things.
Well, this story is not about social media per se, but it was precipitated by a social media banning and a crackdown on what many would call free speech.
PayPal.
Yes, it is PayPal. PayPal's canceling accounts used by Proud Boys Gavin McInnes and Antifa. I can't say that word.
Antifa.
I read it and I always say it, Antifa.
It's a terrible word.
It is a terrible word.
Yeah, it's not a good name.
Anti-fascist groups.
That's what they like to call themselves. So there was, we talked about this last week, there was a rumble in New York when Gavin McInnes was speaking and the Proud Boys versus Antifa. It got pretty violent. And in the wake of that, the Proud Boys and Gavin McInnes were banned from Twitter. And now PayPal is following suit, and they're going after Antifa as well.
So this article from The Verge is kind of interesting in that it seems more and more that technology companies that don't really have any affiliation with one another will follow the other's lead when it comes to removing people from their platform, which is perhaps dangerous.
I imagine it's probably more just like, I don't want to have my platform associated with these people and have people think that PayPal is synonymous with whatever weird beliefs they profess one way or the other.
Yeah. And they're certainly extremists from both sides represented there. You can give PayPal a little bit of credit, I guess, for just using a blanket ban and not targeting one side or the other. But it's still disturbing when... do you think there's any chance that Antifa or the Proud Boys get another payment processor? Maybe they get the one that Gab used,
yeah.
But they are technically blacklisting people away from doing business. They have that power. Legally, you can't argue. I mean, you know, they can do business with who they want. But this is also, it probably wouldn't affect this too much because these are like online donations. But the war on cash becomes much more terrifying when you see stuff like this. Because you can literally, if there were no cash and someone doesn't like you and there's a campaign against you, they could just turn off your ability to shop.
Off your ability to receive money.
Yeah.
For goods and services so you can survive.
Seems dangerous.
And what you won't be able to do is buy a new tablet. Although you probably wouldn't notice because nobody's buying tablets.
We've had an Apple event where they came out with a new iPad. Krista got one.
I did get one.
And a new Mac Mini and all this kind of thing. And Apple also announced they're not going to report numbers on sales anymore because of stuff like this. Tablet shipments declined for the 16th straight quarter because everybody's already got a tablet, and even a 5-year-old tablet is still competent for doing
the stuff. Sort of work you do on a tablet.
Honestly, the worst thing is the battery. Like, the hardware is fine, the technology is fine. It's really just the battery life from that 5-year-old battery.
I imagine there will be some updates to the operating systems that will make these, you know, obsolete a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because
they got to boost those sales.
You can't have this.
Replaceable batteries? Forget that.
You got to buy a new tablet. That's just, if you don't buy a new tablet, the consumerist world grinds to a halt, and it's your fault.
So we need to get these numbers back up, so we need to break stuff sooner.
They just need to sell more avocado toast. That's all millennials buy anyway.
Now, you could use your tablet to pirate some stuff, but if you're on AT&T, you better think twice.
AT&T is going to cut off some customer service. I think this is the first time this has ever happened, so these customers must be like super egregiously pirating, because good Lord.
Well, I think these are people who do a lot of file sharing, and they do it, maybe they don't even realize how much they're doing and how easy it is to track you down when you're doing file sharing like this. But these people have been warned, you know, with those scary legal letters, which are toothless, but they've been warned so many times that AT&T is comfortable saying, yep, they're done, we're cutting them off. So, yeah. Terrible precedent. I'm sure that other ISPs will jump on board. Now, this is made worse because, of course, AT&T owns a media company. So, they could be policing their own content. Now, no one is able to tell whether or not this is Time Warner stuff that's being violated to lead to these bannings. But, I mean, that would be
my guess. Yeah. Well, why else would they care?
This is the second time I've had to close the newsletter and video on this one. Every time you load the tab, it does it again.
This is the most exciting news of the week.
I don't know about this. Obviously, they're trying to build the hype train, but I think they might be shooting themselves in the foot right ahead of the holiday season.
AMD reveals Zen 2 processor architecture in a bid to stay ahead of Intel.
I didn't have the camera on.
There you go.
So, yeah, there's the hype jar.
You don't have any money to put in the hype jar. But.
No. But I'm really super excited about this. Now, I don't really think it's a big deal that they're talking about this before the holiday season, because the first stuff that's out that uses Zen 2 are going to be server processors. So, you know, if you're looking for, like, the next-gen Ryzen CPUs, it's like a year out, seriously.
But they're talking about, in some scenarios, 2 times the performance of Zen.
I think, realistically, it'll probably be, like, 1.7, 1.8x.
But if you're thinking to yourself, should I upgrade now or should I limp along for another 2 years? That's going to tell me limp along for another 2 years.
Well, yeah, it depends. I mean, if you got like the i5 2600K or something like that, maybe. But the really exciting thing about what AMD is doing here is they're taking the chiplets thing to a whole new level. So, like, when you're shrinking from, like, 14 nanometer or 12 nanometer to 7 nanometer, certain parts of the chip, like the computational parts, will benefit a lot from that shrinkage. Other parts of the chip, like cache memories and stuff like that, don't really benefit as much from shrinkage. And so AMD is putting the computational parts of the chip on the new 7 nanometer process, the cores, but there's this, like, interposer thing that's handling memory interface and I/O and stuff like that. And that is a much better scenario for a mini chiplet carrier thing than what they had previously, where some chips have access to memory and everything has to go through everything else. Everything is much more homogenized now. So that may, honestly, it's super exciting. I can't wait to, like, actually play with one of these and see how they work in the server and that kind of thing. But it'll probably be a game changer.
They also talked about how there will be a lot more dependence on speculative execution to get this kind of performance, which is interesting based on what we've learned about speculative execution this year
and how badly it is for security.
Yeah, so you got to wonder how much are they testing the possible bad things that can happen based on that.
One of the exciting things from the memory controller is they beefed up the memory controller to support more encrypted memory regions that use different memory encryption keys for different virtual machines. But it's possible we could see operating system hardening to where, rather than use that for virtual machines, that it would separate user processes from system processes into 2 different encrypted memory segments. That would be an operating system thing that would have to take advantage of that. But somebody somewhere is probably working on that for the Linux kernel as we speak. Amazon would probably finance that development, to be honest.
Well, I almost put this in the good news category, but it is very subjective. Because to some people, this is good news. To other people, this is maybe the worst news ever.
Pants on fire, bad news.
Yeah. Cord cutting accelerates as pay TV loses 1 million customers in largest ever quarterly loss. Is anyone surprised by that? No one?
Ouch.
Turns out TV is expensive. Having recently assisted somebody with cutting the cord, they were paying over $200 a month for all of the set-top boxes and other... Just, it was ridiculous. It was utterly ridiculous.
You're paying to watch ads.
Over $200 a month for like 5 TVs. And it was only like $80 for the base service. And then the other $120 was just nonsense. Complete and utter nonsense. I was able to get all the channels that they actually wanted to watch with an over-the-air adapter.
The last report had actually slowed down the descent. It wasn't an increase, but it sort of leveled off. And everybody was like, oh... Maybe the bleeding has stopped. Well, no.
No.
The bleeding has not stopped. In fact, worst ever quarter. So, yeah. It's a ticking time bomb for the old cable industry.
That means the internet prices have to go up dramatically to offset that loss in profit. And because you are a captive audience, guess what? Your internet bills are going up.
I bet a Jeep Pie will work for us to prevent that from happening.
He always works for us and definitely not for the...
He said in a deadpan, sarcastic voice.
Well, that's the cable industry is not the only ones who got bad news this month. Yelp got some really bad news.
Yelp craters. Craters. What an amazing word. As much as 32% of advertisers abandon the site. Turns out nobody cares about Yelp anymore. Yelp can't fiddle with the good reports and the bad reports by law. So
they got in trouble for that.
Yeah. Turns out they won't be able to make money.
There were a lot of different reports. And finally, there were some cases, court cases, because Yelp would... contact you if you're a business owner and they're like, hey, you've got some bad reviews, but you've also got some really good ones. Wouldn't you like the bad ones to go away and the good ones to be moved to the top? And the business owner would be like, yeah, that'd be great. And be like, oh, here's your payment info.
It's like, oh, that's how it's going to be.
It sounds like a racket.
That sounds like extortion, yes. So it seems like now that they can't do that, it's hurting their bottom line.
Well, now that people realize that and realize that the reviews are probably biased, which is exactly what you're not looking for when you're looking for reviews of services.
Well, this one, you know what? I could have moved this one to the front because this is good news, except for a very, very small portion. And I don't think they're part of the audience, to be honest.
Microsoft is being sued over the Xbox One's warranty void if removed sticker. So it turns out you can't, at least in the U.S., you can't have warranty void if removed because by law, you are allowed to work on and fix your stuff. That's the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, which goes back a long time. Although people bitching about that a lot will probably get it overturned because every company on planet Earth does not want that.
So most of all the other consoles and even Apple have these kinds of stickers and devices and stuff, but they have all gone in and changed their user policies to say that, yeah, we don't recommend this, but you know, they took out the parts that were against the law to say this will void your warranty. Microsoft has not done that, and that's why they are the victim of this lawsuit. So I think Sony still has the stickers, but if you read the fine print, they don't enforce them. Microsoft tells you if you remove it, they will not honor your warranty.
Which they're not allowed to do.
So.
In other news, this coming Black Friday, Microsoft is slashing prices of those consoles, so... That's the good news.
Prepare yourself.
The guy that's suing him isn't even looking for any money. He's totally just doing this for the common good. He only wants them to stop doing that.
What a hero.
Yeah. Probably costing him some money. Probably costing him a considerable amount of money to do that.
Level one salute to that guy.
Yeah, for sure. Pay respects to the... I don't know if his name was mentioned in the article, but the Microsoft sewer. Well, okay, so let's date ourselves a little bit here. Krista probably never experienced this, but I know, Wendell, that you did, and that was the Sears catalog.
No, I experienced it. Ours was not Sears, though. We had JCPenney because my town was not big enough for a Sears.
But Sears was mail order. You didn't have to have one in your town.
Well, listen, we didn't get one. We got JCPenney catalog every day.
But the Sears catalog was this big, thick-ass catalog. It was like 3 inches thick, and it had all of the Sears stuff in it, especially the toys. And it came like end of October every year.
Yeah.
And that thing would be so dog-eared by December. Because it was like, oh, what do I want this year? Well, Amazon is trying to recapture the nostalgia.
It's like 76 pages or something like that. Amazon is mailing a printed holiday toy catalog to millions of customers.
I think this is kind of, it's crass consumerism, but it's kind of exciting, you know.
I can't wait for the day that Amazon sells kit houses.
They don't have a picture.
They don't have a picture of it. It might not. Maybe it's not designed yet.
It's not ready yet.
Yeah. This was just going to be toys, so
not exciting for adults.
But that was mostly. It was mostly the kids that would carry it around and like, oh, let me cut out what I want for Christmas and tell Santa, you know.
Like, I had to circle the number on the one that I liked.
There are several Sears kit houses that are still, alive and well today. Those are a good deal.
Is Sears out of business yet?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's still a few stores open.
Lowe's is selling Craftsman, so.
They went into bankruptcy. I think there might actually be some physical locations, but it's just they're getting rid of whatever they got left.
Their financial services company ate them alive. Like, it wasn't that Sears was unprofitable or a terrible company or, doing poorly in the face of Amazon. It was their financial services company mismanaged the crap out of them and ran them into the ground.
Wasn't that the same story with like
Toys R Us?
Toys R Us,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I was going to say Toy Story. It's not right.
Well, but I don't think that we can ignore Amazon's part in either case.
There was probably a role played, but okay, would it be fair to say that those businesses had survived the level of corruption that they had endured perfectly fine until Amazon came along?
Yeah, that's probably true. they were eating away at the margins with the corruption, and they were like, we can get away with 12%. And then Amazon came along, and
we can't get away with that anymore.
Yeah, so. It's still profitable, but the corruption margin is going to have to go back to like 6% or 7%.
We all know that the corruption margin never goes back. It only goes forward.
Not unlike the feds taking away freedom.
That's true. You never get the freedom back. Well, so this, here's a technology, and I am reminded by, here's a little something from the past. Let me just give you a little bit of nostalgia. 3D TV.
I thought you were going to say, like, we've had a lot of nostalgia throwbacks this episode. And I thought you were going to say something way far back.
But. Samsung shows off a foldable prototype and merges phone with tablet. This is a story about every 3 years.
Do you care, though? Do you ever want this?
No.
This seems kind of like a gimmick. I don't really know what the use case is.
Microsoft had this vaporware thing called the Courier tablet. And you should just go watch the videos, the internal videos that they had on. It was like, this is our vision for this thing. Microsoft team, build this. That was a dual screen tablet that I actually wanted. And I haven't seen anything that even approaches that since.
But then, now they do have a device that works. At least, you know, they showed something off on stage. And it was, I guess, kind of impressive. But I think the thickness kills it.
The thick.
Because it's like a brick.
THICC.
And I'm not going to carry that around in my pocket.
Well, maybe. So here's a problem I'm dealing with as a lady. Look at this purse. Look how big it is. If I had a foldable tablet, maybe I could get a smaller purse. Maybe but, that's the use case.
Did you literally get a new purse for the iPad?
Yes. Yeah, so oh, my carry God.
I wasn't expecting a yes to that answer.
Yeah, why not? I usually carry a very small wallet, but I decided to get a
bigger
purse.
Yeah, I've never seen you with the big purse. I mean, I don't really pay that much attention, but...
Level one shill tips right here.
And no, in college, I carried a big purse because I would carry my books and my sketchbook.
You're already making lifestyle changes as you become an Apple normie.
I don't care. I care about being made fun of, but I don't care because I like it that much.
But here's the other thing about the foldable tablet. The screen did not look great. It looked like you're not going to get super sharp images from that thing. And also, you're never going to use a foldable screen for what you use it for, which because you got to have that
drawing the nice service to draw on. Yeah.
And that one's going to be like, I imagine it's sort of, you know, malleable in some way, right? Like it would be spongy.
Yeah, it probably would not be a good surface to draw on.
The maximum pocket form factor is the same exact size as the HP 200LX palm top. Anything larger than that, even by a millimeter, is too large.
Well, I think even these days that we've gone beyond that. It's too fat.
It is a little fat by today's
too
standards.
Too thick.
Well, the time has come, and because of his Twitter shenanigans, Musk must step down from his chairmanship, and the announcement has been made of who his replacement will be.
Tesla names director Den Holm to replace Musk as board chair. Reading this article, I found it difficult to concentrate because I kept imagining Ren Holm from the IT Crowd as Tesla's replacement. Yeah.
Here she is.
She is.
It's like the sister.
Here he is. No relation. But she was already on the Tesla board. So
she probably wasn't standing up to him before.
The Tesla detractors are already saying, hey, this is a little too close to home. We wanted somebody in there who would control your madness.
Not encourage it.
Not somebody who has already tolerated your madness before. So the SEC, I guess, gets final say here. So we'll find out if they're going to go for it. I kind of think they will.
She could have been really hard on him, though. I guess we don't really know, but maybe she's the one person like yelling in all the meetings.
Yeah, I don't know if they... Do they record like who voted what? I guess there's probably somebody knows her history in terms of...
It's not us. We don't do our research.
Going along with him, but... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And, of course, he's still CEO, so I think probably she just won't have any say in anything.
Mr. Renholm, we've noticed some irregularities in the pension fund. Ah, is it warm in here? Let me open a window.
And just walk out.
Well, the last week we talked about the Google walkouts, and I'm gonna say I did not expect them to accomplish anything. I thought that was just a little, you know, just some nonsense. But, hey... I'll admit when I'm wrong, because Google has capitulated.
They are pledging to overhaul its sexual harassment policy after global protests. I don't know that they really, like, capitulate makes me think that a lot of stuff's going on here, but the big change here is that there's no forced arbitration for sexual misconduct.
Yeah, but that's got to stop you if you are a executive and you're thinking about doing a little bit of harassment, right?
I kind of doubt it. I mean...
Well, you could get sued. I think probably because of how much this is in the news, the next guy that gets hit with this, they are going to bring the hammer down.
That's true. Google has been in the news a lot over things not even really remotely connected to technology. So it's easy to imagine they might be hypersensitive to any kind of anything that might be bad optics for the company.
Yeah. And they're going to just leave them out to dry, and the courts are going to go after them because you just had a big election and all these politicians want to be like, yes, we stand with you. That's why you voted us in here.
So exploring it in that context, I'm going to double down on my, that's not really capitulation. That's like Google getting out from under it and being like, all right, look, it's not all under one house anymore. That dude is on his own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is definitely Google passing the hot potato. But for a greater good, maybe? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Is it a toxic workplace? I guess is what we're getting at. Does the workplace foster those kinds of things?
Well, if we believe the people who worked on Google+, then yes, it absolutely is a toxic workplace.
Now, they did talk about
that article a few weeks ago.
Google has an army of like temporary and, you know, like not official Google employees. They didn't get what they were asking for, which was like, you know, more pay and gender equality pay type of stuff. And the detractors, and of course, it's never enough, right? With this whole like social justice Me Too movement, no amount of, okay, we'll agree to your demands is enough. There's just more demands. So now they're saying, yeah, fine, whatever. You're going to give us this, but that's not enough because the people that we represent are overrepresented in your underemployed class. Like the men are at the top, and then the lower people are all protected species. So now you must do these other things to them. So they have not relented with their attack.
Has anybody actually get any work done if they're worried about all that stuff constantly?
You know what?
How do you get any work done when you're constantly being sexually harassed?
You're under all this stress, you know, you're working on the new technology, and you gotta find a way to unwind, and now you don't even have a sex slave. So
we've got to let you go. You're real high in the harassment category, but the productivity is just too low.
Well, we talked about the cord cutters, and people are abandoning the television at an alarming rate or an exciting rate, depending on which side of that argument you're on. Where are they going to go? Are they all going to get Netflix? Well, there's a new game in town.
Disney's new Netflix rival will be called Disney Plus and launch in late 2019. So I don't think that these studio companies understand that people do not want to subscribe for 17 different streaming services.
Except I know some people who said that if Disney ever came out with one, they absolutely would.
Let me just give you some arguments to the contrary, all right? Original Marvel and Star Wars series, Marvel character Loki getting his own series. How about an original series that's a prequel to the Star Wars movie Rogue One? Or character Cassian Andor. Who is Cassian Andor?
I don't even know.
But you're going to get an original series about that. How about a little High School Musical franchise?
Oh.
Star Wars The Clone Wars, Pixar, Noelle, which is about Santa Claus's daughter, and Togo something something. I don't know what any of this is.
Something something William Dafoe.
But people are excited about it, I guarantee you.
The big story is the Marvel stuff, right? Like, that's what people are...
Well, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Star Wars and Marvel, yeah, for sure.
This joke starts with spending billions of dollars on original content production and ends with The Aristocrats.
Wendell, you don't know it yet. You're probably going to end up getting the Disney Plus stuff. Because of the Marvel.
You definitely are. Oh, wow. That's going to be hilarious.
Just for the Marvel stuff
alone. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But you definitely will get that.
It'll be at your house. I don't know if you'll watch it, but...
Well, this one is, Chris has become an Apple normie. Wendell and I are still resisting, but as much as I dislike the Apple normies, I will comment F to pour one out for them because of what's coming.
Amazon is kicking all unauthorized Apple refurbishers off the Amazon marketplace. What does it take to become authorized was the first question that I had, and it took me over 30 minutes to find the answer to that question, which was $10 million a year in Apple product sales.
It's a lot.
Why are they doing this? Well, they've just made an agreement with Apple to start selling more Apple products on Amazon, including new Apple products.
You mean I don't have to go to the Apple store to buy the Apple products anymore?
Hey, isn't that nice? And you can use your Amazon Prime to ship it. But part of that agreement that, Apple came along to Amazon and they're like, oh, we could maybe make a deal here, but you will destroy this list of people. And Jeff Bezos said, consider them destroyed, Apple.
I wonder if Jeff Bezos was like Lando Calrissian in Cloud City, where it's just like, you know, I've altered the deal, pray I don't alter it any further, or if they were just like, no. Sounds good.
Yeah, he was more than happy to destroy these people. Apple was like, we'll give you, and he was like, say no more, fam. I would love to destroy them. It's been too long since I've destroyed a group of people, let me tell you. It's 2018, and the third quarter, I haven't even done it yet.
So. One of the things in the Apple press release about all this, and I don't know if it was specifically about the Amazon thing, I don't think it was, but it was just talking in general about going after people who sell refurbished Apple products, and it's like, well, that's unknown quality, and it's attached to the Apple thing. It's like, if you buy something on eBay or Amazon, and it's like used Apple whatever, you can, well, first of all, there's a lot of safeguards in place to deal with it if they're selling you returned or shoddy or substandard merchandise. Like, there are mechanisms for dealing with that on eBay or Amazon or whatever, not the least of which is the seller's reputation, and which in some cases, you know, is years long on Amazon. Their business is gone, so I don't think that's fair at all, to the point that I think that, I mean, that's just terrible. But the second thing is that Apple has a history of refurbishing their own products in the shittiest possible, like shockingly shitty ways. Like, there's a very recently there was a problem where one of the chips was coming unsoldered in like one of the MacBooks. The way that they fixed it, literally, I shit you not, was to put a piece of rubber between the metal case and the chip to just like sandwich it back together rather than resoldering it. And that's like an official Apple refurbished policy. Like, that's a literal actual thing that they did. That is not how you repair a laptop, by wedging something in the case.
Also,
it was fine.
Last week we talked about Apple has decided to go ahead and support some of the quote-unquote vintage products in the Genius Bar. Support. So that's another thing where these guys were providing a service that Apple didn't. Now maybe they will, and that's another reason that they must be removed. So,
this is some really terrible behavior.
Man, if only people would stop buying Apple products.
Hey, the Surface had a better pen? Sure.
And that's not all the bad news out of the Apple camp. There's some more bad news that I bet we'll get some comments on today's video.
Your engagement challenge. Phronix has got a great article about Apple's new hardware with the T2 security chip will block Linux from installing. So this is really, it's like T2 plus UEFI and UEFI Secure Boot. Secure Boot is really at the center of what's going on here, because the T2 will prevent the mass storage device from showing up if Secure Boot is disabled. And, you know, officially that's for security reasons, but it works with Mac OS, and it also works with Windows 10. So, like, Boot Camp, Apple's thing for letting you boot Windows 10, will install Windows 10's certificate in the UEFI so that you can boot Windows 10 or Mac OS. Now, Linux actually supports UEFI and Secure Boot and all that. You can totally do Secure Boot with Linux. Red Hat, and among others, has a certificate that's signed and official, whatever. Apple doesn't give you a way to load a custom certificate in a UEFI, even though whoever they OEM their UEFI from definitely provides a way to do that. Apple has disabled it, and as of now, Linux is not supported and will not work on a Mac Mini if you're trying to use the soldered in permanently mass storage device. Why? Sorry.
Well, we talked about Tesla, and they've survived. It seems like they've gotten over all of their horrible, horrible things, the tweets and the crimes, and the securities fraud.
Calling the Thai cave rescuer a pedophile. The
pedophilia accusations. It seems like they're back on track. They had a huge quarter, had a great earnings call. What could threaten them at this point?
Volkswagen plans to sell electric Tesla rival for less than $23,000.
That'll probably be like, what, $22,900?
I don't. In other news, Volkswagen has bought, what is the company that makes the electric scooters? Boosted? Like Boosted
Board? Oh, the Boosted Board.
Volkswagen, in other news, Volkswagen has bought a Boosted, because that's about the only way you're going to do
it. Just put an aluminum frame around it.
Yeah.
Done.
So they're decommissioning some of their, diesel and gas powered plants and converting to full electric. They are really putting their money behind this. They say this is, part of the future, if not the future. So it'll be interesting to see if a $23,000 Volkswagen will entice people away from Tesla. I don't know if it's the same market, though. I mean, like, if you're going to buy, what's the X? That's like $45,000. They're going to have 35, but not yet, right?
Yeah.
Somebody buying a $23,000 car is...
It would have to be like the old Geo Metro. It'd be like an electric Geo Metro.
Well, they got the Beetle. They could make an electric Beetle. Something like that. That's a popular car. And, well, they got those little Golfs. Those are tiny little cars, right?
Yeah. And doesn't seem like the range on those would be the best. Was it one of the luxury car makers came out with like a Tesla rival, but it turns out it was actually terrible.
I don't know. I'm not that into the electric cars. All the cars I'm looking at buying are horrible, horrible fuel mileage because I hate the environment.
You just got a new car.
Yeah, and it's a 5.3 liter V8.
It's fine.
It's a 5.3 liter V8 that requires modification to use all 8 of those Vs.
But I'm going to order one of those. Well, this is not the end of the bad news for Tesla. Although it might not be bad news for Tesla, the Volkswagen thing might amount to nothing.
The damper.
But this is for sure bad news.
Tesla worker from San Jose charged with embezzling more than $9 million from the company. So, wow, how did nobody notice? Oh wait, he was the guy that was supposed to notice.
Yeah, he was some sort of product manager. He did the ordering and the fulfillment and stuff like that. And so, every time there was a dispute, there was like a Taiwanese company and a German company, and he was faking the payments from one to the other. And every time that the Taiwanese company would complain, they would fill out a form and send it, and it would come to him. And he would send it back and say, no, everything's fine. We paid you.
This is why you can't trust product managers. Secretly embezzling your money.
But they caught him, so his crimes did not pay off ultimately. And I imagine he will do a little bit of jail time. Or federal prison, since it's international.
Yeah, probably worse.
Well, in the topic, let's move on to social media. And this story falls under the topic of things that none of us know anything about.
I had to ask what TikTok was. And like, I like to think I'm fairly up on social media, but I did not know
what it was. Well, I guess you didn't watch the Level One News last week because I covered it then.
I didn't watch it, you know. I couldn't bear to watch you that drunk.
What's the headline?
Facebook quietly launches a TikTok competitor app named Lasso. I didn't know what TikTok was. That means I don't really know what Lasso does.
It's just little video clips.
It's basically Vine.
It's Vine. But yeah,
but
Vine was not a major success.
But TikTok is different because it's Chinese. So it's one of these hot new social products that Facebook doesn't happen to own. So of course, Facebook immediately made their own version of it.
Well, yes, because it turns out the younger crowd is leaving Facebook in droves, probably because of news programs like ours.
Or they're definitely not watching this.
Or because their parents are on there and they don't want their parents to see what they're doing.
And so Facebook is like must absorb because, yeah.
Yeah, and the people who are using Facebook are the older folks, which is hilarious because it's like something, I don't know, you grow up with something and it's like all the hipsters are there. And then all of a sudden, it's just all old people.
And it's like, oh.
And it's like this weird, it's like, oh, that means I'm old, right? And one thing that old people love is fake news.
Somehow, the old people in this case have like leapfrogged it, though. So Zuckerberg has rebuffed a request to appear before the UK Parliament. This meeting was about fake news. And the question before him was, what is Facebook going to do to stop fake news worldwide? And he's just like,
it seems like something that's beyond the scope of Facebook, but maybe
that's probably why he didn't want to meet with them.
Yeah, what can you say? I mean, they've tried. Remember, they tried the making it the smaller font. Or no, first they tried the little badge. They put the little like red
this
badge.
Might be fake news.
And
people were
out,
like,
people
let
were
me
like,
click that.
Ooh, red badge. So that worked against them. So they're like, okay, well, let's demote it and make it a smaller font. And that didn't work.
Oh, it was a completely different layout. Like, it went from a card layout to, like, a media object.
And then they just started banning accounts before the election. And I don't know how effective that was. But it doesn't seem like they have a good answer. So, yeah, maybe he's just not willing to go because what's he going to say?
The other
maybe
Facebook,
fake news comes from everywhere.
The other big news from Facebook this week is that they're following Google with the whole sexual harassment thing where at Facebook, you used to have to do arbitration for those kind of claims. But now, nope, you can just sue because that's not a Facebook thing. That's just wrong on so many levels.
Yeah, they basically did exactly the same thing. Microsoft, Uber had already done it. And then Google and then Facebook was like, okay, fine. We'll do it. Because that's what you do on Facebook. You just follow the crowd. just blindly do what everybody Follow. Else is doing.
You like, favorite, subscribe.
That's the only thing to do. Now, of course, we talk about only old people are Facebook users. And some of that might have to do with the fact that old people blindly trust everything.
Oh, wait, no. Facebook wanted to take stock of that.
Bless me.
And Facebook is the least trusted major tech company when it comes to safeguarding personal data, a poll has found.
You can't bless yourself after a sneeze.
You can. I just did. What are you going to do about it? Fight me IRL.
That's a false blessing.
People on the podcast were like, what is going on in that studio?
So here's the chart. Now, amazingly, look how much Amazon is trusted.
I'm not surprised by that. I don't know why, but I feel like I trust Amazon
more. Lex Luthor would have it no other way.
Also, why is Apple? Oh, I guess it's alphabetical. Why not put these in order of trust rather than?
Then alphabetical. It's a good question. Wait.
Here's G and F.
it's completely arbitrary.
Doesn't make any sense. Who is this? Fortune.com. But yeah, you see, on average, everybody's kind of above 40. But here's poor little Facebook.
At 22.
Nobody trusts them. But I mean, Microsoft. Why would you trust Microsoft?
I guess you have to trust Amazon that much to let its ever-recording speaker into your house.
That's true. If you're buying the speakers,
or putting your credit card information into their website.
Meh.
Are you nonchalant about doing that on any website?
Well, you just figure that your credit card's going to be stolen at some point, right? That's the world we live in. And we talked about, so Amazon's got the buckets that are constantly leaking, but is that their fault?
No.
That's just user error. And we know about user error.
Oh, Lord, we know about user error. Woo, doggies.
But I think, if you're going to spread a message this holiday season, when you're sitting around the Thanksgiving table or whatever your godless nation does this time of year, maybe tell people not to trust the big data companies or tech.
Between your glasses of wine as you struggle to get through the dinner.
And maybe, the technology demands a higher level of scrutiny than we've ever had before. I mean, maybe in the olden days, it's like you trusted newspaper reporters, even though they had an agenda. Now, anybody could say anything, and any idiot can agree with them with the same fervor and amplification. And so, like, the whole everybody is a snowflake mentality. Like us, it's like, why are you listening to us? We're just some bozos on the internet. Learn to think critically instead. That's our message.
As one side of the table is arguing bitterly against the other side of the table about the Jim Acosta karate chop, you go ahead and bring up how untrustworthy media in general is. And we can all agree on that, right?
And then they're all like, shut up and eat your potatoes.
Both sides are using technology to manipulate the argument is what has happened here.
Mm. Yeah, you can bring up the the Antifa and the Proud Boys. And I'm sure that will cause the argument to slow down and become more reasonable.
And definitely never and not, escalate.
Not trigger one side or the other.
Triggered! All right. Stay tuned for Friday, because Friday is nonsense. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Security and nonsense.
Because those often go together. I don't know why, but, I kind of do know why.
See you then.